I'm here today with social network goddess, Patty Anklam, a woman from whom I have learned most everything I know about social networks, whether Patty knows it or not. I've been following her writing and her books for many years, and she's agreed to share a little insight about social networks and social network analysis with us. So welcome, Patty.
Thanks, Nancy. Thanks for inviting me. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
So tell me a little bit about your work.
About my work. Well, I've been working in the area of social, actually knowledge management for many, many years. I worked in for large computer companies for most of my career, and always at the intersection of computers and people. And when I became an independent consultant, I had a strong expertise in knowledge management, but I had also been exposed to and had the pleasure of working with Dr. Rob Cross, who was at the Institute for Knowledge Management for several years and is now founded a research institute at the University of Virginia. What Rob intrigued me about working with Rob was he really held a key to understanding how knowledge flows in organizations and helped me to understand that there was actually a real method and a technique that supported what so many of us knew intuitively about, working in networks and working with people. And SNA provided a way to help people visualize their networks and opened up for them the opportunity, the ability to ask all kinds of intriguing questions that they might not have been able to ask otherwise. So for me, the ability to show this, this picture out to people about what this looks like opened up for them a new way of looking at how they were working with other people.
Fantastic. That makes a lot of sense. If you were talking to someone about social network analysis for the first time and why it might be something they'd be tell them.
Well, I would usually start by telling people that what we understand about organizations and how organizations are structured is all based on a standard hierarchical who reports to who kind of model. But anybody who thinks about it knows that when you really want to get something done in an organization, you call the person who knows the most, or you need to find somebody in an organization. It's either really hard to go through many series of phone calls so you get to the person who can answer the question that you have, or that there are certain people that you automatically gravitate to. So it's, how does the real work get done? And what we've learned in social network analysis is that while many times a leader will have an intuition about where the power network power centers are or where the real work is getting done, that he or she as a leader needs to have a map, and the map can actually illustrate for the organization things like are we focusing too much on a single individual? Is one person really so much the center of the network that the organization is overloaded? Who are those people? Are we stovepiped? Well, everybody knows that you're stovepiped in some way or another, but having a picture of precisely where the stovepipes are in the organization and who the people are that connect them. These are really often the hidden value people in the organization. So what we say is that what you can get from a map of the organization is both something that can confirm your intuitions about how things work in an organization, but offer you insights into things that you don't know about. And it's those surprises, those ahas that very often spark action in the organization.
How does that affect knowledge sharing?
In some pretty fundamental ways. One of the phrases that I repeat a lot, I heard Larry Prusak say several years ago, is that knowledge flows along existing pathways in organizations, and that if you want to move knowledge on more, you need to create more pathways, or you need to know where to create more pathways. So what happens in knowledge management is we know through research that People are much more likely to ask someone that they know when they have a question or problem than to, you know, go read a book or to look up research. And so what she really wanted to understand is how comfortable are people going to other people. And one of the things that happens in doing social network analysis, and one of the reasons that, you know, my thinking about it is shifting a lot, that it's really about network awareness. In other words, who are the people that I have access to? And do I have a diverse enough network of people in my organization? Do I know how to find and connect with other people? For example, one of the organizations that I've worked with for a long time has this very rich intranet with, you know, access to, you know, documents that individuals write. You can, you know, you can search on a person's name, or you can search on an area of expertise and find the names of people. And you could probably find out maybe who the experts are in the organization or people that you don't know. But people are very reluctant to call up other people that they don't know. And that they, you know, real need is to really understand, okay, what is the path to this person? What is the path to knowledge? Is it through somebody else I know? Can I find somebody I know who knows this other person so I can request an introduction? Or shall I say, this is a person I really want to know, and what do I have to bring to the table in order to introduce myself?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Makes a lot of sense. I think that's going to be particularly useful as our conversations about networks. In closing, if someone was just getting started on social network analysis, what would you encourage them to do in their early explorations?
Well, I always point people to Rob Cross's book, The Hidden Power of Social Network. I certainly wouldn't, you know, dissuade them from reading my book, where I have a very condensed, you know, description of social network analysis in the context of networks and how people work together in networks. There are a number of, you know, resources on the web. Some of the experts in social network analysis has started building content on Wikipedia about social networks. Unfortunately, there's no Dummy's Guide to Social Network Analysis yet that I know of, and most of the work is still pretty academic, but there's tons of stuff. People, it's an area where people are still learning and learning together a lot. So I would encourage people to use the web, do some searches, and certainly I have a lot of starting points on my website, and also have the other thing that people can do is to look for, you know, very short, say, one day workshops. It's a really good way to kind of get immersed and look at the tools, and also to understand the concept. So it's a kind of a specialized area, but in terms of learning how to think about networks, I think if you start with Rob Cross's book, then you'll have a really good place to start.
Fantastic. Really appreciate that quick introduction, and we'll add all things to the podcast once we've got it published. Thanks a lot, Patty.
Thanks.